Broadcasting live from the True Crime Today studios to the world. This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
From the Hit Killers podcast, Murder in the Morning.
A Missouri police lieutenant facing charges. This is a different type of case. I don't think I've seen one like this. Charges of misdemeanor animal abuse. And we talk about this a lot with kids. You got to think of the animals, too. After the death of his canine partner, Horace, a nearly two-year-old German Shepherd who died of heat exposure after being left in a patrol vehicle for hours in June of 24 this year. The Savannah Police Department canine unit equipped with an advanced safety system designed to protect the dog had its safeguards deactivated at the time of the incident, according to a probable cause statement that was reviewed by People. The incident unfolded on June 20th when Lieutenant Daniel R. Ziegler contacted his police chief shortly before 6 p.m. to report that Horace, who had worked an overnight shift with him, had died. However, further investigation revealed that the canine Horace had been left inside the police vehicle since the end of their shift at 4:49 a.m., leading to his death from heat exposure, as outlined in the charging documents. The vehicle was equipped with the ACE canine system, a precautionary feature designed to prevent heat-related deaths by activating the vehicle's horn, rolling down windows, and turning on fans when temperatures exceed 90 degrees Fahrenheit. However, with any system, it only works if you turn it on.
Yep.
However, the system had been manually turned off, investigators determined. The deactivation of the ACE canine system directly contributed to the death of canine Horace by removing a safeguard to prevent such an incident. Highway Patrol Officer Justin S. Johnson wrote in a probable cause statement. The probable cause statement recounts that a neighbor saw Horace's body near the vehicle that evening and described Ziegler as being visibly upset, flipping out and yelling in disbelief, claiming that he thought he had brought Horace inside after their shift. Later that night, during Horace's burial, Ziegler reportedly told Police Chief Dave Vincent, "It's my fault." This admission was later corroborated by a witness present at the burial, according to the documents. A key part of the investigation included a test conducted 6 days after Horace's death to assess whether the ACE canine system had been functioning properly. Investigators parked the canine vehicle in direct sunlight with the ignition off, allowing the interior temperature to rise. And as expected, once the temperature hit 90 degrees Fahrenheit, the system activated, rolling down windows, sounding the horn, and turning on a fan. This confirmed that the system was fully operational on the day of the incident, but had been manually disabled. Temperatures in the area on June 20th reached a high of only 88 degrees, making it dangerous for a situation for any animal left in a hot vehicle for an extended period of time. People don't think about that. They think, well, it's only 88. It's not 100. Inside that fucking vehicle? No. It turns into an oven. Is what that does. It gets far hotter in the vehicle than it is outside. If you ever walked into your car after a long day, I remember back when like seatbelts were all fucking metal. You like tried to touch the edge of it to buckle up and you like burn your hands. Yeah. Ziegler had been with the canine Horace since the dog's arrival at the Savannah Police Department in February of 21. Following an eight-week training program funded by community donations, Horace had quickly become a valuable asset to the department, working alongside Ziegler to patrol the streets. The tragedy, of course, has raised questions about negligence and responsibility, especially considering the vehicle's advanced safety features. Ziegler's decision to turn off the ACE canine system directly resulted in Horace's death, and now he faces a misdemeanor animal abuse charge. It's only as good as the people that use it at the end of the day. And I'm sorry, there's just a lot of dumb people out there that are not that shouldn't have the power that they do, to put it lightly.
Where would you like me to begin?
Well, let's take a quick break and hear from Casey.
Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of. Let's come start again from coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This is a last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
And to you, Stacey.
Yeah, that's, I will try to keep my emotions in check. One of the things that I did when I was in radio, working in a morning show, I did that for 16 years, 18, 16?
It was a long time. Yeah.
One of the campaigns that I did before I ever got into veterinary medicine, because I worked in radio as a morning show co-host for 16 or 17 years. And then I went on to become a veterinary nurse after that, because I left radio because it was driving me nuts. Whole other story. Mm-hmm. But before I left, I was doing a campaign called Hot Dogs in Hot Cars. And this was in Wisconsin. Summers get pretty hot here. And it was basically trying to make the public aware that within 10 minutes of a car being in 80 degree weather, it is 99 degrees in that car. After 30 minutes, it's about 115. And after an hour, we're talking an 80 degree day, it's 123 inside the car. A living creature cannot survive in that vehicle.
No,
they can't. And after 10 to 12 minutes, they start showing symptoms of heat stroke. Mm-hmm. And once I finally got into the veterinary field, we did have animals come in with heat stroke. Some in cars, some left outside on hot, humid days in the sun, baking, and the owner forgot that they were outside, didn't set a timer or anything. Mm-hmm. Their body begins to literally bake.
Yeah.
It's a painful death. It's an unnecessary death. People make mistakes. I get it. But these canines, these canine officers, and the clinic I worked at dealt with the canine officers in our county. And I live in the biggest county in Wisconsin, so we dealt with a lot of the canines in the area. These are actual police officers.
Oh,
they
yeah.
are granted the same rights as the humans.
Mm-hmm.
And they cost upwards of $20,000 for their training, their protection, their livelihood.
I thought they were a lot cared for. I thought they were a lot more than that.
The last I had heard, it was about 20 grand. It could be more than that. I mean, but that's to acquire them. That doesn't count their protective vest. That yeah. doesn't count their food, their vet bills. I mean, the vet bills for the canine crew that we saw, thousands of dollars. I mean, because these dogs are working dogs. They're subjected to joint issues. And mm-hmm. I mean, they work in some really rough conditions.
Yeah.
We'd see them with infections a lot, you know, because they're going into some really shitty areas. They're doing sure. some really bad things. You are responsible for their care as their handler. And I don't want to villainize this officer. He made a mistake.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he deactivated the system. I'm sure he loved this dog and yeah. would never do anything to harm him. So yes, he does need to be punished for what he did, but I don't think it was, I'm going to fucking kill this dog.
No.
No, I don't think it was that. It was a mistake, but I also want to see, and I'd be curious to know, I've seen these vehicles, the canine vehicles, I've seen their alert system where, you know, all of a sudden the doors open and unlock and a window hatch opens, all this stuff to let the dog out.
Yeah.
But is there anything on their collar? Because they're always wearing a collar or their bulletproof vest. They're always wearing some sort of identification. There should be something on that collar that triggers the system in the car that when they've reached a temperature of 90 degrees or something, that system activates something on the dog that says, hi, I'm the dog. I'm in here.
Well, how about alerting not just something in the car, alerting people? How about it starts sending texts, like it alerts something, and then it's like, boom, the dog's in like 90 degree, like, where the fuck is the dog? And then suddenly every officer can be
correct.
Like, what the fuck's going on here? Where is the dog? You know, and something. I mean, people are going to be people. People are going to make dumb decisions. And I agree. I think this was a very poor decision. I don't think it was intentional by any stretch of the imagination. I'm sure he feels mm-hmm. absolutely horrible about this. I guess I'm just getting, I'm so frustrated because we have so many damn stories of just these fucking doofuses that are officers that are just like, I expect more. I mean, and I'm not, again, I'm not anti-police, but there's so many fucking doofus stories lately of just people being stupid in that field. And it's, and I get like, there's a shortage and it's a job that's a thankless job that's underpaid and you put for the fucking risk you put your life on the line for, it's, I couldn't imagine doing it. And for the good ones out there, my God, you have my respect, but there's too many fucking dolts out there that are in this position because they weren't getting other jobs and it's not that hard to get on a force. And depending where you're at, and then you have just horrible decisions being made by someone with way more power than they should have. There should be, I don't know. I mean, I'm just sick of it. I'm so sick of it from this story to the case out with the fucking school shooting. I just, this afternoon, I watched the bullshit interrogation of Colin Gray on his doorstep a year before his kid went and shot the fucking school up. And they're just like, oh, yep, you like hunting? Okay, yeah, play some damn video games. Like, this kid made a fucking threat. And the kid says, I didn't do it. They're like, okay, well, you didn't do it. It's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And I get, sometimes your hands are tied to a certain extent, but some people are way too quick to sympathize with other dumbasses rather than actually dig into the case. And I don't know what it takes to fix this. I do not have the answer. And then you have the fucking case out in Delphi is another one, but you have the Karen Reed area, and then you have the Sandra Birchmore, and just utter, just shitty behavior. And it just makes me so angry. And look, I guess, I don't know, I guess this could happen to anyone, but why the fuck did you disable the damn system? Did you not know what you were doing with it? If you didn't know like what on-off bent on this thing? Then fucking ask. I just don't get it. Like, why would you even turn that off? Why would there ever be a reason to turn that off unless you're like installing it or de-installing it?
I don't know much about this canine system. I'm wondering, and I should look up this system, but I'm wondering if it needs to be turned off at night for some reason.
Well, I mean, guess if the
dog... Could it drain the battery?
Maybe if the dog's not in the car, you'd turn it off so it doesn't just automatically open your windows and shit. So I guess maybe that's a logical answer to the question I just asked, but I don't know.
I agree with you. And to further talk about what I was mentioning, there needs to be something on the collar to a secondary officer, not just the handler, but maybe the police chief, that the dog is in distress.
Yeah.
You know, this officer is in distress. We, you know, firefighters have a distress button on their uniform and such. So there needs to be something on the dog that the dog, it triggers it, that the dog is no longer, you know, in a safe environment, that kind of thing, where it triggers another person. It sends that alert to its handler and another secondary person. Because what if the handler was not well? What if he had a heart attack outside his car while the dog is in there?
Yeah.
And somehow the system had been disabled. I mean, things can happen.
I get a fucking alert every time I drive away from my house saying that my cat has been left behind because I have an AirTag on it and the cat got loose last year. And I just don't turn that alert off because if I'm sitting in my house and I get that alert, it's like, holy shit, where the fuck is the cat? And then I know. So, I mean, if I can have it, if me in my fucking house, I'm not a police officer. I talk on the fucking podcast airwaves. I can have an alert that my cat is wandering where it shouldn't. I think we could figure something out a little more efficient here for these canine officers as well.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure. So I'm reading, this is on the Canine Heat Alarm Pro. The system always auto powers on when the ignition is turned on and requires the handler to manually turn the system off. At the end of the shift, when the handler presses and holds the power button to shut down the system, an audible and visual warning to remove the dog is given, and then the system shuts down. And it says, shutting down, remove canine.
Mm-hmm.
If the handler turns off the ignition and just exits the vehicle, the system stays on and keeps monitoring the interior environment for the canine. So I don't understand why he turned it off.
Just stupidity. I mean, again, not evil, not nefarious. People are just dumbasses. It's just really the end of the argument. It is what it is. Some people are just not that bright. They're lower IQ. We all make dumb choices and make dumb decisions, but some make more frequent ones than others. And in the gravity to which that decision can then go to is pretty fucking scary. And I hope to God this doesn't end where something like, oh, he was drinking. And I'm not saying he was. I have no idea. But hope, and they probably didn't test for anything either. But, you know, those are like the only instances where I could reasonably think someone would be like, oh, I forgot the dog in the car or the kid in the car. Not that this is an excuse, but it just, that's something that would fuck up your mind a little bit. But if you're not and you're stone cold sober, like what the, like these cases where, I mean, I've never ever seen a case where, you know, we see these every year where the kid gets left in the fucking car. Have you ever seen a case where the parent looks remotely intelligent, where like you would trust them to, like, I don't know, work the fucking drive through at Burger King competently?
I have. There, you know, been, I thought there was a medical worker of some kind. I don't think they were a physician, but I think they, I don't remember. It was a number of years ago. It was a medical professional. They were tired, went into the house, laid down, and left the infant in the back seat.
That's fucking rare.
Yeah.
If that happens and there's someone of intelligence, that is fucking rare. I'd say most cases it's like, yeah, you're not an evil individual, but I wouldn't trust you to like park my car. It's just life. There's just some people that are not that bright.
Well, and I think we've seen a lot of law enforcement highlighted recently in those situations because, you know, you and I have worked in the radio industry. I worked in the veterinary industry as well. And there are a lot of dumb people in a lot of industries.
There are.
It just so happens that the law enforcement ones have a lot of power.
That's the problem. That is the problem right there. It's like, there's bad apples everywhere. Yes, there are, without a fucking doubt. But you need, if you're in an your industry is police work, I'm sorry, you're going to be held to a higher standard, and you have far less wiggle room to have quote bad apples unquote. You just can't. It's not an area where that is acceptable to anyone. But we end up having a lot of them. And it's an area where the bar needs to be higher, period. And we don't have a super high bar right now by necessity, because it's hard to get fucking people. They should be paid a hell of a lot more. There should be more qualifications. And I think maybe if you raise some of that a little bit, you're going to get more qualified people. It's just how that works. But we pay shit there. We pay shit for education in our country. So then we're like, well, why are our kids stupid? Why do we have all these problems with the police? Well, we pay them absolutely nothing. And anybody that wants to make more money will eventually do that and get the fuck out of these industries where they're not being appreciated or taken care of. And the shit that police officers have to go through, the good ones, is insane. And it doesn't make for anyone to go, yeah, I want to keep doing this. I mean, again, the people that go into this on a good, you know, on good faith of I'm trying to do the best for the community. And there's some great ones out there. But even at that point, still, too, there's only so much you can take.
I agree. And I know some teachers that have actually left the field. You know, they spent their entire college career learning to become a teacher, doing all of the work, getting their master's degree, even thinking about moving on. And you know what they did? They left the industry and went and worked at Starbucks.
Yeah, pays better.
Because it paid better, and they didn't have to worry about being shot.
Yeah, less stress. And not being shot, but also not having to, you can't, there's no way to like correct kids half the time anymore, or discipline, or say you're wrong, or hurt somebody's feelings. And then all the parents that are just hovering in there like, you said this to my little angel. It's like, yeah, your little angel's a fucking nutcase. Like, how about you start parenting at home? But we have no way to do that. And there's just no standards for anything anymore with these sort of things. And they're their most important assets. They're fucking people. They're children. Yeah. And we completely missed the bar out of being, I mean, not to say there's like things that didn't go extremely bad in certain situations. Yes, but the pendulum swings one way, then it swings the other. It's like, we need to be a little bit more in the middle of just common sense here. And if we can do that, maybe we can get somewhere. But it just seems like it's very black and white. In reality, everything is very gray. And I don't blame, I don't know anybody who is still a teacher who I went to school with. I'm 42 years old. So my class, to put into perspective, graduated around 2000, 2001. There was a lot of people at that time, a lot of girls, a couple guys who went to go be teachers. And they did for a while. They're not teachers anymore. It's not that long of a time span to say, I'm not doing this anymore.
No, I agree.
So you don't have then, an old, like, so as some of the older ones have retired, you don't have like the mid-age ones who have good enough experience, but now they're going to be the seniors. They're fucking gone. They're already left. So now you just have like brand new and older who've left, and you have this whole middle gap of everybody who said, fuck it. And we have the exact same thing going on in police work as well in our country. So you don't have that senior, you know, and that's exactly from Robin Drake, the former intelligence of the FBI's counterintelligence behavioral analysis unit, who's a big contributor on our show. Because we were talking about that a couple days ago, where he views it as there's that seniority isn't there anymore. So the new ones who are coming up don't have a lot of people to learn from that have experience. And there's this big gap in the middle that it just doesn't exist anymore. So you have this kind of weird influx right now of really inexperienced and really experienced who are leaving. And that whole middle area has already given up and said, fuck it.
Where does that leave the rest of us? You know, where does that leave us when we need experienced teachers? We need experienced nurses.
Well, that's where we need to
police officers
put a higher value on paying people what they deserve in areas that curate our next generation. There should be nothing more valuable than looking at that and paying people adequately for their skills if they're good. And weed out the shitty ones.
Yeah.
But right now we're in a place where it's like, well, there's a lot of shitty ones, but we can't afford to not have them. Otherwise, we can't operate. So we just kind of have to deal with the shitty ones. And that's how we handle things in this country. And that's how a lot of departments handle things when you're talking about police. Like, well, it would be great to get rid of so-and-so, but you can't. And there's other reasons too, but there's unions and shit. I mean, it's insane what it takes to fire an officer sometimes for horrible behavior. But then they get protected by, and I'm not anti-union. I'm just anti-dumbass.
Yeah.
And I think we need a little bit more of that. A little more anti-dumbass going on and calling it for what it is.
Yeah, I can't counter that because you're really making some great points. And I want to say that every single canine officer and handler that I worked with when I was in the veterinary field, they were the most kind, compassionate human beings, and they loved their dogs. And I was at a funeral for one of the officers, the canine officers, grown men crying because of the loss of their dog. It broke me.
It's why it's so shocking to hear this story. Like, how did you forget that? Seriously?
Yeah.
How did you, I don't know. I mean, when I was in Wichita doing radio for 10 years, we worked very closely with the Wichita PD and we did all sorts of stuff together. We did this Christmas thing every year where we got people to donate to less fortunate kids. And then we'd all go and deliver the gifts, and the PD did a majority of that work, and worked with some lovely, wonderful people, including some of the people who worked with the canines. And I mean, some of just the nicest, I'm still friends with several of them to this day. Again, so it's like, I'm not anti-police, I'm anti-dumbass. But even the good ones would talk about the dumbasses and how difficult it is to get rid of the bad ones. It's like hands are tied.
We've all worked in fields where there just have been the dumbest fucking people that make your job so hard.
Yeah.
And they can't get rid of them.
Yeah. Then everybody suffers. And then you get people are just like, fuck it. If we can't get rid of the bad apples, quote unquote, then I'm out. Because I can't do my job efficiently if we're going to keep catering to this person over here who's this stupid. They may be the nicest person in the world. You may have the greatest, you know, let's go have a beer conversation. But if they can't do their fucking job at a basic fucking level by not leaving the dog in the car, I'm sorry. This is not the field for you.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and savor every twisted detail without interruption.